Welcome back to CIOs and Bowties. Greg Silverman, Chief Investment Officer. I'm having a great chat with Paul Chai. Oh, goodness. Okay. That's good to hear. We're having a great chat with Paul Chai, Director of Investments at KSU Foundation, and really just speaking about the challenges that foundations, endowments, and pension funds all face in what could be perceived as a low growth, a low return environment going forward. And, you know, that doesn't change your spending policies, et cetera. So you've got a lot going out and not much coming in. So how do you make up the deficits? And sometimes it's through grants and gifts, et cetera. So Paul, this is a totally selfish question I'm going to ask you. Okay. And the reason it's selfish is because for a few reasons. One is I am clearly not from the United States, and I never went through the college system here. But now I'm faced with a situation where my eldest child is a senior, and we're having to look at the whole college ecosystem, if I can put it that way. And man, I just find it completely baffling. It's baffling, and I'm not sure. I'm a value investor, so I'm not sure where the value is. But here's my question to you. What's your opinion of this, you know, forever rising college tuition, yet you've got these large endowment, you know, long-term pools of capital that are there theoretically to, I guess, help the faculties and help on the tuition side. And then you've got the student debt lending thing, and how much value do you even get out of going to college? So I know it's a bit of a nebulous type question, but I'd just love to hear your thoughts on it because it's something I'm kind of grappling with right now.
I agree. Yeah, I think if you look at sort of along the lines of what you mentioned about the absolute return target, we have to account for inflation. And certainly, I think inflation within college tuition has been off the roof. It has been more than 2% per annum, like we projected with our endowment fund. I think this is really an area where that emphasizes the importance for school to grow its endowment fund pool, because for the Kansas State University Foundation endowment fund, the purpose of the funds are really to fund a lot of the students' scholarships, to provide financial aid for our students and to really help them to alleviate the effects of and the impacts of a rising tuition. So that really is something that I feel there is a sense of purpose for us to continue to manage the portfolio and to help grow it so that we can enhance the school's ability to support the students. I think even for large schools like a Yale and like a Harvard, I think they, with the large endowment fund, they actually have been able to, despite the very high tuition price tag. If you look at some of the tuitions actually paid by students coming from a less privileged background, you will see that most of them are supported by efforts from distributions from the endowment fund in the forms of financial aid. So I think that's where the endowment fund is really directly beneficial to help alleviate this issue.
Okay. I appreciate that. So now I understand why you've got a 2% or thereabouts inflation rate built into the absolute objective. I get that. You know, I can go online now and I can actually watch a lecture at MIT, given at MIT on pretty much, you know, a wide array of courses, and as if I was sitting there. The only thing is I don't get the certificate back. Now, I know you're obviously a deep believer in the education college system, as am I at its heart. But I guess I'm just trying to understand how you feel the whole college thing is developing. It just seems to me like a bit of a freight train out of control at the moment.
Yeah, I think in terms of colleges, colleges today really face, especially in the U.S., there is a huge challenge in terms of enrollment retention as well as growing enrollment. I wouldn't say Kansas State University Foundation is the exception to this rule. I think I forgot there was a mention by a Harvard professor of a projection of over the next 10 to 15 years, half of the U.S. colleges are going to close down because of the heightened competition for enrollment and just the ease of access to information for students. A lot of the students, just especially the Generation Z students that's growing up and saw financial crisis firsthand growing up as a child, a lot of them are becoming a lot more pragmatic as opposed to millennial generation, where they grew up and there's a lot of individualism, and they are less sensitive to these type of distressed financial situations. So I think as we are seeing from our school, enrollment definitely has decreased over the last 3-4 years. That's a challenge for us. We, from the school's end, I think there has been real efforts and campaigns for the school to try to enhance on how do we recruit students, not only from Kansas, but also from states around us. We offer pretty good value in forms of education compared to other options. And if you think about colleges, most people coming out of colleges, they always feel that the one most important thing they got out of colleges are really not necessarily the things they learn from the lectures, but really the relationship they have developed with a professor, with a mentor, or with their classmates. So I think these are the things that's going to help the college experience still being a very good proposal to as an option for a lot of the students, kids growing up. And I will hope that people will continue to go to college, because especially for a school like Kansas State University, I just see so little recognition for the school, considering the value you can get for this education. Just to give you one example, our team tries to tour the school from time to time, since we are not really part of the campus. We're on the side of the campus, but we try to get to know the school a little better, and we try to arrange tours with various departments. We made a trip to our Salinas campus, which is about an hour and a half from our main campus in Manhattan, Kansas. And that's the first time I saw that on a campus of 20 acres with its own little airport and an educational training program for pilots.
There's really
500 students on 20 acres.
Imagine the
value of education you get.
I actually know someone who went to KSU. She's now in institutional money management here in Atlanta, and she is a pilot. That's interesting. No, that's great. Listen, I may have taken you out of your comfort zone there, but that is interesting to me. You know, I'd like to give you the opportunity. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your mentorship program that you're engaged in. And again, yesterday, I was at a conference. I was sitting next to a young lady, and I got talking to her, and she's now in the wealth management space, and she was mentored with, you know, at the college she was at. It was a big college in Florida, might have been FSU, if I'm not mistaken, and she was actually mentored by the endowment folks, which actually gave her really almost like the real life experience to move into the wealth management field after graduation. So tell us a little bit about your program there.
Yes, so at the foundation, we actually have, we probably were the first department to hire a student assistant within the foundation. We have had a student assistant with us within our team probably for the past 10 to 13 years. So we definitely found a lot of value bringing students from campus to work with us. We provide mentorship to them to kind of show them what it's like to actually work as an institutional investor. And our students bring in a lot of energy and a lot of passions. The one thing I really appreciate having them is they are always eager to learn new things. And they are always coming in and ask me what they can do today to add value to what we do. So that's really a injection of energy for me. When I'm tired and seeing the students coming in, eager face to learn, I always feel more energized, and I want to show a better example of not slouching on my back and trying to show some more purpose. So that has been helpful. I have also been involved on campus. I work with the business school at Kansas State University. Actually, there has been a couple professors that I'm friendly with, and I have guest lecture in portfolio management classes. So these are experiences that I really appreciate. These are a lot of fun for me to actually sort of live my dream of potentially be a professor someday, although it's never be, but... I got to teach a little bit, so that's a lot of fun, and I really find bringing some of these real life experiences to classroom lectures, that's really helpful for students too as they look forward to the next step after college.
No, that's phenomenal. I mean, you're seeing the fruits of your labor, and you're giving service. So I think it's very noble, and I think it's very high value proposition. So let's end off with one more question, Paul, and then we'll call it a day. This has been a real education for me, to be honest. I've known many folks in the foundation endowment space, but you know, there's always it's a bit opaque to some of us who are not inside it. I understand there's actually a bit of an agency problem in the endowment space, you know, given the duration of the assets, the corpus, and the interest or the income, the annual spending requirements. And then, of course, there's always a political element, and that's communicating with the board. And I suspect that those communications become more important now, given that you're, you know, firmly in the belief that maybe we're not going to achieve our policy benchmark returns, given a low, you know, just a low growth environment. Can you just give a sketch out how all those dynamics are fitting together for you?
Sure. So we really have a pretty complex optimization problem here with multiple decision makers. So on one hand, within the internal investment staff, our purpose and our objective is to grow the endowment fund through meeting our absolute return objective. There are also some relative return objectives and comparative. I think obviously colleges are competitive, so our board always want to kind of look at our performance against some of our peers in the Big 12. Within our board, they also are faced with the challenge of balancing really the present needs of our school today versus the needs of our school in the future. So if you think about it, on one hand, the school has a lot of needs for funding to support its ongoing efforts and to improve. So the more money they have today, the more they can do to sort of improve its reputation, to hire better faculties, to build fancier buildings and facilities, and there you have it. But if you distribute too much of the money from the endowment fund to the school right now to support these efforts, you can potentially increase the risk of the endowment fund actually not growing its intergenerational equity over time, and it may in fact become smaller over time. So if you distribute too much right now, you are risking having less for the future. So if you have less money in the future, you're jeopardizing the future generations and their prosperity. But if you distribute too little right now, you are really risking antagonizing the school. You're risking discouraging large donors putting their money down today, because they just feel that a lot of them, when they are donating to the school, they want to see the impact of their money happening in the school today, within their lifetime. They definitely don't want to see it sitting in an endowment fund pool forever without seeing the fruits of labor coming from that. So that is really what we consider an agency issue, where we want to strive for the best balance of both the present need as well as the future need. We have been very fortunate to have a board with a diversified group of people with different backgrounds, and most importantly, I think they are all passionate and they are very loyal to the school. They share a vision to see our school advance, and deep in their mind, they all have the right intention to really do the right thing. So having that mindset, that has really helped us in making thoughtful decisions that aims to balance on the needs of both sides. So, but I would agree with you that this is a challenge that's faced by all endowments, and we're certainly not an exception. But we try to do our best to make sure all sides are satisfied, and we're just trying to make sure everybody's happy.
Yeah, no, terrific stuff. Look, I mean, my view, for what it's worth, is, you know, it's always give and take, and so no problem is insolvable, and it may require cutting back a little, it may require more gifts, it may require slightly more risk in the portfolio, but somehow or another, I feel under, you know, under your guidance and the CIO's guidance, that you guys will get to a better place, so, or a good place. You're already in a good place, but an even better place. So listen, Paul, thank you very much for joining us today. As again, it's been very educational for me, so I really appreciate it. I think you've got a really good career ahead of you. I think you've got a full grasp and understanding of all the elements that it takes. So, you know, we'll be watching you. I know Trusted Insight put you on the top 30 under 30 institutional investors. I think that's what it was, or endowment investors. So that's a great recognition of you and your skills. So let me, all that remains is for me to wish you the best of luck, and we'll be watching your career progression from afar. And, you know, if there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Thank you so much. And it has been a pleasure joining your podcast. It's really an honor. Thanks again.
Thank you.